Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading. Today we're going to be in Leviticus 13, 45 through 46. It says, "The leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. This is the word of the Lord."
Well, that might seem like a strange scripture reading if you're not aware of the text that we're going into now in Mark, but it is an important backdrop on what we're about to look at in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. So if you could go ahead and turn there, Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. And before we read that passage and dive into that text, I want to say, first off, happy Mother's Day, belated Mother's Day to you mothers. I wasn't able to be here with you last Sunday and wish you a happy Mother's Day, so I didn't want to miss out on that opportunity. And I do hope that Josiah's sermon on motherhood as spiritual warfare was encouraging for you. Motherhood is an incredible ministry to engage in and to glorify God in and make disciples. And so, happy belated Mother's Day. Second, this week was a whirlwind. I wasn't here because my family and we got on a plane last Saturday, flew to L.A., went to a banquet that night, went to graduation ceremony the next day, which was Mother's Day. So we had this dual celebration going on there. And then Monday through Wednesday, we hit up some theme parks while we were in L.A., And then we had an entire day of travel on Thursday coming back with two little ones. It went better, I would say. The trip back was a lot better than the trip there. Ruthie was asleep that way. We had a 20th anniversary celebration for Providence Church that we went to Friday night. Saturday we celebrated my son's third birthday, and it's the Lord's Day now. And so it's been a full and wonderful and busy and amazing week. And I want to say thank you. Well, let me say this before I say thank you. Can you hear me all right? I think there's a little feedback. They're working on it. I want to say this. It's so good to be with you. My wife was tearing up as we pulled into the parking lot this morning, and it was just good to see those banners, those blue banners, that I'm sure Pete Quaid put out this morning with alongside others. It's just good to be here. We were at John MacArthur's church that Sunday celebrating graduation and went to the service, and I'd just rather be here. It's good to see you. It's good to worship Christ with you. Thank you, all of you, for serving this church so faithfully. So many different ways. Some of the people are going to be listening to this sermon tonight or tomorrow, and they're serving right now as this service is going on. I just want to say thank you. I just love you. And it was a long 3 years of a grind finishing this doctorate that Christ called me to start, and then I didn't think I was going to be able to finish it a lot of times. And but without the support and the encouragement of my wife Rebecca and you, this my church, by God's grace, I was able to finish that race, and glad to finish that race. But you partnered in prayer. You partnered with me in, some of you were part of focus groups, and many of you participated in the surveys that I sent out, and all of that, the data and the analytics helped me to finish my paper and to graduate. So I just want to say thank you. Now let's get back to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. How about it? Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45 is one of the most touching passages in all the Bible, I think. Jesus heals a leper. And I've entitled this sermon, "Desperation Meets Divinity," because that's what happened. This leper was desperate, and he knew it. And he met the God-man, the divine Son of God, Jesus Christ, and he was healed. Look at Mark 1, verse 40. "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This miraculous healing is recorded more than just here. It's also found in Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 5. And there's some other details in both of those accounts that put some flesh on this short account that Mark's giving. But the first thing that I want you to see, and my first point this morning, is the leper's plea. I want you to see a man pleading with Christ for help and for health. Look at the leper's plea in verse 40. "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" You can't really appreciate the plea if you don't understand the person's condition. What is it like to be this man, this leper, in the first century, in the ancient world? You can't hear the desperation in this man's voice if you don't walk in his shoes first, as a leper. He had leprosy. There's 72 distinct types of skin disease that fell under the banner of leprosy at this time in the ancient world. The worst case would be called Hansen's disease. That's what it's called today, which is likely the type of leprosy that this man had, because if you look at Luke's account, it says that he was a man full of leprosy. His body was fully invaded with leprosy. He's physically falling apart. Inside and out. I think a lot of times people think about leprosy and they go, "Ooh, it's that cringe skin disease. It's that outer scaly nastiness." But it's actually a disease that affects the whole system. The flesh, the blood, the bones. It is a comprehensive death. And the person who is infected would decay until they died. This is an awful, awful condition to be in. If a doctor was to tell you at this time, it's leprosy, it'd be the worst news you could possibly hear. The symptoms were a person would have spongy, tumor-like swellings that would appear on their face and other parts of their body. And the word leprosy comes from the Greek word lepros, which means scale, as I mentioned earlier. It's a scaly, swelling, flaky, disfiguring a human to make them look animalistic on the outside, just the skin. We're just talking about the outside. And we get a description of this in Numbers 12 when Miriam and Aaron opposed God's man, which was Moses. It didn't go well for Miriam. God gave her leprosy. And it looked like the bad kind. It's described in Numbers 12, 11. It says that Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. And so you have a picture of a newborn baby with all that film and stuff all over the bed. I mean, that's what a leper looks like. That's what Miriam looked like. It's not just an ugly sight. It has a distinct and terrible odor. You don't want this. It causes bones to deteriorate. It begins to shut down internal organs. It breaks down the immune system. It weakens the immune system. So if you have leprosy, you're probably going to get other things too. It starts off incredibly painful, and then it gets numb. And I was studying this, and I was going, well, that's good. I mean, that's God's grace that it's now getting numb. At least there's something to look forward to. I got leprosy. Yeah, the first 2 weeks are really bad, but the third week it gets a little better because everything goes numb. But then I continued reading, and I realized that that's actually part of the worst part of leprosy. Because 99% of the cases where a leper is losing digits or parts of their body is because their nervous system is gone. They don't have a sense of when something's hot. Or if they roll their ankle, some have walked on a rolled, broken ankle until the foot's just not there. It's a nub. It is a most heinous, horrible condition you could possibly have. And this is the man who's coming to Jesus for help. And he knows it. The leper, as we read, as Kiefer read earlier in Leviticus 13, a leper was commanded to wear tattered clothing and unkempt hair. The attire, or as the kids say today, they say the fit, the outfit, it matched the condition of the person. It was to be a sign to healthy people that, oh, that person at a distance, that's a leper. And they need to stay at a distance for my safety. And that's another part of leprosy. I mean, the condition itself is so horrible, but then you have to be alone. When you've been sick and I've been sick and we've been really sick, but we have someone to care for us, that helps. But if you're a leper, it's just things are going from bad to worse and there's no one to lift your chin. There's no one to put an extra pillow under your head. You don't have a pillow. You're not living in the city. You're in the clefts of the rocks. You are homeless. You're an outcast. You are unwanted. Because if you get too close and you breathe on them, or if you touch them, or if they touch you, you infect other people. You are a disease with legs. If you're a leper, that's who this man is. You're poor. You don't have money. You don't have a job. You can't earn a living. You are a beggar, and you're the worst kind of beggar. You're the type of beggar that no one wants around. And people already don't want beggars. You're ceremonially unclean. So you're spiritually isolated. You can't go to the temple. You're socially isolated. You're emotionally and physically and spiritually at your lowest point as a leper. That's who this man is. That's the man who's coming to Jesus for help. He had no hope. He couldn't even go to a doctor and get chemotherapy as a last-ditch Hail Mary. He has no hope. He's consciously desperate. And he's aware that he's going to die in this state alone without divine intervention. But by God's grace, there is divine intervention here. Look at verse 40. And a leper came to him. The leper's plea began with a pursuit of a person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He had no hope. He had no physicians he could go to. He could go to no one. No one wanted him. But he heard of Jesus. He heard of the things Jesus was doing. And he pursued Jesus Christ. This was against the rules. He broke the Mosaic law. He broke the societal expectations of the day, the regulations. The rule was this, generally speaking. You have to stay 50 paces away from everybody. This guy came into town. That's where Jesus is in this moment. He's in town. On a windy day, it's got to be beyond 100, it's got to be beyond 100 paces. But this could have potentially got the guy killed. He's coming into town. I mean, people could pick up stones and stone him to death and say, all right, someone's got to get that carcass out of here so it doesn't infect us. He's taking a risk. But he's coming to Jesus. And he's imploring Jesus. It's a desperate plea. He's imploring him. That's what it says. That means he's begging him. This is the last resort. No one can help him. He knows it. He can't help him. He knows it. And I think we have to pause in this moment right now and ask the question. You ask the question. Have you come to Jesus like this? I mean, have you come to Jesus? Have you come to see your sin as a disease that is killing you? Have you come to see that you are hopeless without Christ? That's step one. That's so important that we see we are spiritually just like this leper. And we need to pursue Jesus, not to be healed of a physical ailment, but to be cleansed, to be forgiven of our sin, to be pardoned, to be washed clean by his blood. This is a desperate plea. It's a reverent plea. It's a humble plea. Look at the posture of this leper's body, which is falling apart. Where is he? He's on his knees. He's on his knees. And you need to go there with me. This is where he is. In the city, on his knees, before Jesus. And people are around him, and they're not happy that he's there. They're angry he's there. They're anxious he's there. And he is reverently, humbly pleading with Christ. There is no sense of entitlement here. There is no air of pride here. He is not coming to Jesus. Look at the text, friends. He's not coming to Jesus saying, I'm worthy of being healed. He's coming for mercy on his knees. Have you come to Jesus? Come to Jesus. Go to Jesus and be forgiven of your sin. Be healed, not just temporarily, but be healed for an eternal life that's to come. He's on his knees. And this is a faith-rooted, believing plea. It's desperate, it's humble, it's reverent, it's believing that Christ can do what this man needs to be done, which is to be cleansed, to be healed. Something impossible for anybody else, but it is possible for the God-man. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. Think about what he's not saying. There's so many things he's not saying. He's not saying, if you can, you can make me clean. If you can, do it. He's not saying, if you can help me make myself clean, can you do that? He says, if you want to, if you're willing, you can make this clean. That's faith. That's a great confidence in the divine God-man, Jesus Christ. That's incredible faith. You can make this clean? He believes it. So that's the plea. It's pursuant, it's desperate, it's reverent, it's humble, it's believing that Christ is able to do what no one else could do for him, not even himself. And this leper was right. And we see the Lord's power in verse 41 through 42. That's my second point. Look at the Lord's power in verse 41 and 42. It says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. This is the glory of Jesus Christ in two verses. This is unbelievable. Not only is he able as the God-man, he wants to, he's willing. Both. You need to see the heart of God here. Look at the heart of God. Moved with pity. What's going on inside of the God-man's chest? Compassion. It's growing. It's welling up in his heart for this man who's so desperate and so sick and so troubled. Everyone looked at this man again with fear in anger, but he looked with pity. This is Jesus Christ. See the hands of the God-man. What are they doing? They're outstretched. He's reaching out to touch an untouchable. Let that sink in. It doesn't have to. It's what he's doing. It's who he is. Comes from his heart. He does what he does because he is who he is. He's so compassionate. Ever since this man got the news, and we don't know what that looked like. We don't know what that conversation was. Was it with a priest? Did he wake up one morning, notice a spot, and then it started getting worse? We don't know what that looked like, but we know it was the most devastating moment of his life. If he had a wife, he can't kiss her. If he had a child, he can't pick him up. If he had a friend, he can't hug him. No more shaking hands with the men in the gate, making trade and doing business and enjoying his work. There is death in him. And he's got to leave. But Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. There is not a metric system that can describe the weight of this moment and that touch. 100,000 tons is insufficient to describe this moment and this outstretched arm of God. It's just not enough. And yet, it's not a weighty touch. It's not a coming down on a judgment touch. It is a uplifting, lifting him up touch. It's a healing touch. And in touching this man, Jesus knew that he would incur some judgment from the perspective of pious Jews who, no, you don't touch that. He's defiled. He's unclean, as we read earlier. But Christ came to make us clean and to take on our filth to the cross, that we'd be forgiven. That's the great exchange. I'm going to touch on that more later. But you need to see Christ here. You need to hear Christ here. Listen to his voice. He said to him, I will be clean. He's willing. And let us never forget that Jesus is willing to save. He's willing. He came for that very purpose. He came to save. He came to save suffering sinners. He's willing. And he's able. The question is not, is Christ willing? The question is, are you willing to take his hand by faith for the forgiveness of your sins? His hand's outstretched. Are you willing to acknowledge your sinful state? It's worse than the leper. Are you willing to confess it to him? Are you willing to repent of it? Put your trust in him alone, not in you and not in any other physician, not in any other witch doctor, not in any shaman, not in any other religion, just in Jesus Christ and him alone. Are you willing to put your confidence entirely in him as this leper was that day? If you are, he's willing to save your soul. And he's able. Are you willing to publicly and unashamedly step into a baptismal, be baptized, and testify of the mercy of God towards you, a sinner, and declare your allegiance to him? Are you willing to follow him all the days of your life and make disciples along the way on this road to glory? If you're willing and if you take a step towards Christ by faith today, I want to talk to you after the service. I want to help you follow Christ. I want to encourage you. I want you to see the authority of Jesus Christ here. Just look at him. How does he heal him? With an outstretched arm of compassion, pity in his heart, and a command. I just love Jesus. He is so tender, and he's so strong. He's both. He is the embodiment of meekness. He's a man of God, and he's the God-man. And he commands, not the man, he commands the body that he created to be well. This is outstanding. I will be clean. And the body listened. Look at the comprehensive healing that Christ did this day for this desperate man. Verse 42. Immediately, the leprosy left him. It's gone. Didn't have time to pack its bags. Just kicked right out the door. It's gone. And it says, he was made clean. There's no delay. There's no remnant of sickness. He's not just neutral. He's healthy. This is the power of Jesus Christ. And this is really insane when you think about it. I mean, going back to the condition of this leper, you think about, if he's full of leprosy, as Luke 5 says, then this man, it's not just the outer coating that's being healed, made well. Oh, perfect skin again. No, it's like, did he lose digits along the way to get to Jesus? Those are back. He's made well. He's clean. The leprosy's gone. His body's restored. This is incredible. And we also know from Matthew's account, this wasn't in isolation. Now, what I love about Mark's account is that it feels so intimate. Who else is here? Nobody. It's so narrowed in. It's like Mark's like, with the magnifying glass, look at Jesus and this leper. But we know from Matthew that there's a crowd actually, because it's in the city. And so there are people who see a total transformation of this person in the twinkling of an eye. A foretaste of the resurrection. He's made well. This means so much. There's not enough time to even unpack the significance of all this, but I mean, his body's restored, his life is restored, he can go back, if he has a family, he can see them, his friends. He can go get a job. He can go worship at the temple. Everything's just, he's back. He went from death to life. And as this leper is beginning to grasp those things one after another in a moment, Jesus says the most shocking thing. He says, "Don't tell anybody." What? That's the very thing that the leper would want to do. That's the very thing that you would want to do, is you would want to tell somebody that you went to Jesus when you were desperate, and he did for you what you couldn't do for you, what no one could do for you, and you're made well, and you've got the evidence of that. That's the thing you'd want to do. That's the thing you'd do if it was true. And Jesus says, don't do that. Look at the Lord's prohibition in verse 43 and 44. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Why in the world did Jesus tell this leper, don't tell anybody? I'll tell you. It helps when you study Mark in context. We just talked about in the verses prior, starting in Mark 1, 14 and 15, Jesus came out preaching about the kingdom of God, calling people to repent and believe so that they'd have eternal life. Then he says in verse 38, I've come out to preach. I've got to go to other towns to preach. Jesus Christ was not trying to draw people to himself through miracles. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ was not trying to draw people to himself through miracles. He was trying to draw people to himself through the message that he was preaching, through the gospel that he was living out. There's a saying, all publicity is good publicity. Y'all heard of that before? All publicity is good publicity. It's commonly attributed to P.T. Barnum, who is the circus guy. It's also closely associated with Oscar Wilde's quote where he says this. He says, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. All publicity is good publicity. That's how the saying goes. That was not a saying that Jesus held on to. Not all publicity was good publicity in Jesus' mind, because he had a mission. And he had a message to preach, and he was drawing people through the message, not the miracles. The miracles were just evidence that he was who his message said he was, and that his kingdom had arrived. Now I want you to look at Jesus again. Again, tender, compassionate, full of pity, hand outstretched, and now immediately, the next verse, he's firm, he's direct, he's masculine with this man who's now made well, and he says this, he says sternly, he charges him to go away at once. What? Again, if we were writing this story, it would be, follow me, right? What is Jesus doing here? It says he sent him away at once, and he said, see that you say nothing to anyone. This makes no sense, humanly speaking. But Isaiah 55:9 reminds us, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. Christ knew what he was doing here. It was this man's responsibility to obey him. And ironically enough, you'd think when you've been shown such grace and such kindness and such mercy that that's what you would do, but he didn't do that. He disobeyed. He actually went out and told everyone and put Jesus in a tough spot. But Jesus says why he's giving them this unique command to not tell people. He tells them where to go. He tells them who to talk to. He tells them what to do, and he tells them why. He says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Go where? Well, the next few words help us understand where. Show yourself to the priest. He's going to the temple. And that's to who? To the priest. And offer your cleansing, for your cleansing, what Moses commanded. That's getting into the why, because he's fulfilling the law. Again, going back to Leviticus 13 and 14. And then here's the why that he concludes with, for a proof to them. Two proofs here. One, he's well. This guy's back. Two, Jesus is the great physician. He's the Messiah. And he's not come to break the law. He's come to fulfill the law. He was the lawgiver. Jesus wrote the law. And now he's telling this man, fulfill the law. Walk this through, and they will know who I am. What's interesting is that a lot of these religious elites in Christ's day, even when they heard about miracles like this, what did they do? They said, well, it's by the prince of demons that he's doing these things. Really? Because the demons were oppressing people, and Jesus is liberating people. So that's kind of a foolish thing to think or say or think about Jesus, but that's what many of them said, but that's what Jesus wanted. He said, go to the priest, walk this through. Deuteronomy 24, 8 through 9 says this, verse 8 says this, take care in a case of leprous disease to be very careful to do according to all that the Levitical priest shall direct you, as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. So this was a sensitive thing, and Jesus wants him to walk it out as a law-abiding citizen. It was a proof for them that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, I want you to see the leper's proclamation. This is my fourth and final point in verse 45. And the leper's proclamation is an act of disobedience in the aftermath of God's mercy. Look at verse 45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. He did exactly what Jesus said not to do. I know I've said that a few times now, but like, let's reflect on that. He disobeyed Jesus. And there's a part of your flesh and mind that wants to go, yeah, but he's preaching about Jesus. I mean, he's going out and he's telling people about Jesus. He's telling them about what the good thing Jesus did for him. But here's the thing that we can learn from this. This is very practical. It doesn't matter how sincere you are or how well-meaning you are. If you are disobeying the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in sin. And if you are walking in sin, you are not advancing the mission of Jesus Christ. You're hindering it. It's just a great reminder, isn't it? The sin that you and I think we can just walk in is destroying us like leprosy. And the sin that you and I think, well, we can just walk in this, it's going to produce some fruit, is hindering the gospel from advancing. Let's continue to encourage one another to repent of sin and trust in Christ and walk in obedience to his commands. We don't have to know why all the time. If you're a parent, you're going, I get that, because you tell your child, hey, I need you to do this, and they go, why? And you're like, sometimes I can't explain the why to you in this moment. I just need you to trust me. And our Father in heaven is asking us the same thing with every command on every page of Scripture. He's saying, just trust me. I am the God that gave you life. I'm the God who's leading you into life. Just trust me. Just obey. Uzzah was well-meaning. He touched the Ark of the Covenant when it was about to fall, and God struck him dead. So we just need to trust and obey Christ. Look at the consequences of this man's disobedience. Who bore the brunt of this man's disobedience? Christ. Not the leper. Christ. Look at it. He did the wrong thing, and then what happened? So that Jesus could now no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. And why are they coming to him? For the message? Or for a miracle? There's a great reversal here. There is a turning upside down of one life in a positive way, and then another life in a negative way. The man is restored to community. Christ is out in the wilderness. The man's life has never been better. Christ's ministry has never been more difficult. And there's a spiritual connection to all of this, obviously, right? Our disobedience led Christ outside of the gates of the city to be crucified on a hill. His obedience leads us into the kingdom of God as citizens of God, friends of God, redeemed, restored, beloved children of God. He was forsaken by God so that we could be forgiven by God. And he's risen from the dead. And he's risen from the dead. And that means that you can have confidence that not only is he willing and able to save you and to resurrect your body from the dead when he comes again, but he did it first as a proof. You can have great confidence that you can be truly forgiven of your sin. And you can truly have hope, even as you suffer in this lifetime, awaiting Christ's coming. Sin is spiritual leprosy. It affects every part of us. It affects us in ways that we are unaware of. It affects us in the ways that we're conscious of. You can't heal yourself. You can't get cleaning supplies from Costco and rub this off. Not even the chemical grade stuff you get from a manufacturing warehouse somewhere on the black market. Sin is so deep in our heart that only this God-man can surgically remove it. And it's a heart transplant. And he's willing. That's good news. And he's able. And his arms outstretched. That is good news. And so who is the truly blessed person? Doesn't matter if they're healthy or very sick. The truly blessed person. Doesn't matter if they're rich, worldly speaking, or very poor. The truly blessed person knows two things. I am a spiritual leper apart from Christ. Second thing, but because of Christ, I've been made clean. If you have cancer, some of you do. You seek medical attention, as you should. And if you don't get the bad news that you're sick, and if you don't first realize that you're hopeless in yourself, you'll never find hope in Christ. But if you, like a leper or someone steeped with cancer knows I'm a sinner in need of mercy. And you know that Jesus Christ is willing and able to save you and forgive you of your sin, and you put your trust in him, you're truly blessed. There's no stain of sin that Christ's blood is unable to remove. And the health of this leper and the miraculous healing of this leper is a physical reminder of what Christ is able to do spiritually for us. And it is a reminder of what he will do physically for us upon his return. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible miracle, full of compassion and power, through tender tones and very direct commanding authority, just through the whole picture of Jesus Christ and who he is. We just thank you for this interaction that this leper had with Jesus, and for the grace and mercy that's in Jesus. Pray that you would save sinners this morning. Call them to yourself. Help them come to you. Help them repent and believe. And help them do what the leper was prohibited from doing. Help them to proclaim the excellencies of God all the days of their life into glory. Father, we thank you for this afternoon, just the opportunity to baptize new believers who get to testify of your mercy towards them. And we pray that you'd strengthen and edify our church through those testimonies and remind us that you are very much alive and working in our midst and in this area. And we pray you do more and more work in saving and sanctifying us. In Jesus' name, amen.